Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to, I'll level with you guys. All right, first of all, so that I know which episode to edit, because I've been having a hell of a time trying to keep track of all the audio. Welcome to the worst idea of all time, where Guy and Timbo have just watched Emmanuel's Secret.
I think slightly out of order, because there was a lot of finality to this film. This was the final installment in the...
We nailed it.
Seven apiece. George Lazenby and Sylvia Christel sit side by side and swap horny anecdotes for a... What's seven times...
That means we haven't nailed it,
that's
eh?
Right.
Oh,
there's probably some still back there.
Oh, I see. We fucked up.
Anyway, this is the final one in the installment. We didn't think the order was important, but they have got a final one.
None of the order has been important until now, until this one.
This is like...
I just want to tell people what was happening before I hit...
It's
record.
Like when a sitcom does a flashback episode. Instead of writing a new episode, they just remind you that they've been good before. This was...
Oh, is that the rain I can hear on mic? Cool.
Can you hear it on mic, or are you hearing it through your headphones in real life? It would be nice for the listener if the... I mean, people listen to rain sounds when they go to sleep now.
I definitely think it's through the microphone.
Well, I hope people are...
You hear that through the mic?
I can't tell if I'm hearing it through my headphones or just out in the world.
I played, because this all of these movies have this to an extent, but this movie was such a punch to the solar plexus of energy reserves that I needed a little pump up track to get in the vibe. And so I chucked on I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross, because I fucking love that track.
Yeah, man, good on you.
Shit, it's good. It is one of the all time greats.
Yeah, it really does amp you up. To get psyched up, I took an antibiotic to help counter my sty that is developing in my left eye, which sadly does not impede my vision to the point of not watching all of this movie. One thing that stood out to me, Tim, as I drove to your house at 9:45 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, was that I can't wait to see my friend Tim. And then at about 10:05 a.m. as we sat down to a breakfast of...
It was weird.
Emmanuel's Secret was that there's a big difference, I think, between Friday after midnight, you're 13 years old,
yeah,
desperate for a glimpse at a nipple, and Tuesday morning at 10:05 a.m. when you're 32 years old and you're just sitting down to this like it's a plate of fucking eggs on toast or whatever.
Yeah.
It is decidedly dire.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing as soon as we saw our first glimpse of nudity, the first thing you said was, I'm in no mood for this. With a sort of finality and defiance of a man who was not mentally prepared to spend 1 hour and 18 minutes in the company of two senile former leading men and ladies as they just like rile and rack each other up on a long haul flight.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck that shit, man. Because that's just, that's us getting...
But that's just how you feel?
Not complacent. What's the word? We need to insert a little gratitude into the pod, you know? Hey, what could be better than spending Tuesday morning with my main man, Guy Montgomery, and whacking on a bit of titties, you know?
Whacking on a bit of titties is not a good turn of phrase.
I'm trying to fucking generate a bit of energy. Come with me on this. And don't dive into come with me either.
Okay.
Let's just leave the low-hanging fruit where they are. I don't know if that one is also a double entendre, but it feels like it could be fairly easily.
No, the only low-hanging fruit around here are my saggy balls.
Oh, okay. If only the podcast could capture the smug look that Guy had for one half of a second on his face after delivering
for
that.
For one quarter of a joke.
So
what? So
I can't
you
be
mean
bothered
to tell me
talking about
this
one. Well, let's talk about it structurally. So this movie, well, I want to analyze it kind of in a slightly financial way. Kind of clever in some ways. So much like Adam Sandler did a deal to make 7 Netflix movies, but he actually went and did it. The Emmanuel guy, I've forgotten the director's name. I've forgotten.
You just continue
Doesn't
talking.
Matter. He signed up to do 7 of these semi-canonical, made-for-TV French ones.
Francois Leroy.
Yeah.
Francis Leroy.
Yeah, yeah. Frank to us.
Yeah.
And so what I think Frankie Big Boy ran out of money, and so all of this one is, well, about 95% of this is constructed in flashback, and it's using 2 setups. One is a Sigmund Freud sort of look-alike and sound-alike, who's a psychoanalyst, who George Lazenby points out at the top of the film is,
and I quote, "He's the most renowned psychoanalyst for females in the world."
That's a good George Lazenby. You're getting good at
Lazenby. I've attributed the quote to you there in my notebook. So it just says
Lazenby. Circa 93.
It's a fucking baller surname.
Yeah, it is good.
Lazenby! Stop daydreaming and do your algebra. One day I'll be Bond.
And then in porn.
And then you'll see. Yeah, that. So the first one is Emmanuel has been in a car crash in Amsterdam. She remembers nothing of this.
That's kind of a funny thing to insert in a porno, eh?
And
let's put her in a car crash. And the psychoanalyst says, someone ran a red light, probably to impress you.
Yeah, a cab driver ran a red light to impress. The psychoanalyst, the world's most renowned psychoanalyst for females, is a man to be commended and respected for just how horny and unprofessional he is.
Yeah, I don't want to commend him too much.
Before we even get into it, discussing his performance,
yeah,
his entire practice needs to be shut down. They are displaying Emmanuel.
Yes.
This is either at a hospital or at the psychoanalysis.
So that's the hospital.
Small. Okay, yeah. The surgery that Emmanuel is in is just what are those rooms, those white rooms that look like they go on forever that they use for photography studios?
Oh,
you know what I'm called?
A studio.
The wall curves up.
Yeah, so it's just a studio, I think.
Well, anyway.
Like with a psych. That's what that's called.
It's a studio. Yeah.
A cyclorama is what that's
called.
That's
what I was looking for. Cyclorama. And they've just got her lying nude there. And there are about 5-6 nurses and Dr. Sigmund Fuck, and they're looking at the body, and one of the nurses, a woman, comes over and he's like, what's her deal? And she's just lying there prone and naked, and the nurse says, I don't know, I've just been watching her, I think she's beautiful. And it's just not appropriate, obviously.
I know they're
so
Dutch.
Many-
I know that it's a different place and there are different people and it's a different culture, but that's no good.
Absolutely. And that's just a setup. And then so simultaneously what's happening is Emmanuel is caught in a dream where she can't remember who she is. And she wakes up and George Lazenby says, oh, you were dreaming. And,
oh, yeah. This is old Emmanuel on the plane now.
And she says, yes, I was. And he says, you said, who is Emmanuel? And this is true to George Lazenby's reputation as one of the great listeners. He says, your dream sounded fascinating. And she said, what? And he said, you said, who is Emmanuel? And she's like, oh. And he goes, I'd love to know more, whatever. And like really eggs her on. And
there something to be said that maybe these films were made accidentally for a female audience, and like the real object of everyone's affection is George Lazenby by just being a tremendous listener, which bucks the trend of men traditionally being quite bad at that?
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, like, the one of the lasting things in the life rafts that has helped pull me through these so far has been admiring the way that Lazenby listens. It's time for Listening with Lazenby.
you tell him a story.
If you want to listen well, ask a question. What was the last thing they said? Find a way to turn that around into a question that gives them further opportunity for talking. I'm George Lazenby. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for thanking the person. That's another good tip.
That's right. I think there is something to that. Fuck, I love listening with Lazenby. I'm just imagining, you know, very popular audio series, 18 episodes, each 20 minutes.
Yeah.
All with a tip for listening.
18 minutes is quite a long runtime. Because now I'm thinking
minutes,
you're doing
18
it.
Episodes.
18 episodes, 20 minutes. That's 180 minutes in total. That's, why do I want to say 6 hours? It's not right. What is it?
I don't know.
Is it, divide by six.
I can't do maths. I figured out before while you were talking that it's a 10.5 hour flight that they're on. So they're flying from, I think, London to Bangkok. We'll see how long that is. And what do you want to know? You want to know 20 times 18?
I think it's 18, three hours.
360 divided by 60.
My bad.
6 hours.
6 hours.
6 hours of listening advice.
Do you think you could pull that? Because in my head, you're doing it as George Lazenby. Do you reckon you've got that in you?
Yes.
Be quite hard to generate as well, because I guess it's just like you really get to the stream of consciousness.
Here's the middle section of every 20-minute episode.
Yep.
We're now going to practice listening for 10 minutes. You're doing well.
This is one of the only, I think the second time ever in the history of Worst Idea that I've allowed a big old honking pause like that.
What was the last one?
It was, you were doing something in real time. What the fuck was that? You were doing
remember.
A pause in real time.
You were furious.
It was like 45 seconds or something.
Yeah, you didn't like
it. I let you do it though.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I'd let you, you know, I joined you in it, but I was not happy about it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how the permission structure on this podcast works. I don't think either of us can truly stop one another, nor should we, nor do we.
That's right. So you've got, Emmanuel's got amnesia. She is trying to remember.
Young Emmanuel.
Young Emmanuel has amnesia. She's trying to remember who she is with the help of Sigmund Fuck. And meanwhile, she's telling this anecdote to George. Old Emmanuel is telling this. Sylvia is telling this anecdote to George Lazenby.
The story of her having amnesia is itself a memory. That is like an amnesiac memory.
Yes. It's a bit of a mess. And it pretty much creates permission for a very sloppy sort of overlay of every sexual encounter that has taken place in this sort of this seven series canon that was recorded in 1993.
Because within the memory, the story of her as a young woman having amnesia, then we have more memories of the previous movies.
Yeah, so while she's recovering from her amnesia, Sigmund Fuck
this
keeps being
story.
Like,
imagine being told this on the plane. How would it work? How do
structure it? I'm less interested in how Lazenby and Sylvia are getting along with her. I'm more interested in how all of the other passengers in first class on this 10.5 hour flight are tolerating these two, like, seemingly oblivious people while they just swap tall tales of fucking. Just relentlessly. The only time we see either of them sleep is when Sylvia Christel wakes up from a wet dream. And immediately George Lazenby prods her to divulge the details of the dream to him. And so once again, we are entrenched inside of this fuck anecdote. It is exhausting. And the way that the story is told and the way that they've intercut all of the old scenes together, rightfully, you said halfway, or like not even halfway, maybe two-thirds of the way through this film, you said, Tim, who is jerking off to this nonsense? And I couldn't help but think, who is jerking off to this nonsense? They are so caught up in trying to qualify everything. That, like, literally, if anyone was to start, by the time that you approach anything remotely, you know, within the vicinity of an orgasm, you would have cut to Lazenby and Sylvia Christel on the flight explaining the context of what you were masturbating to.
Yeah.
Which, for some people, probably a tremendous turn on.
Yeah, but those people are few and far between. That does not represent, I think, the broad swath of humanity.
But it's just, it does circle back to that difference between absorbing these as the intended audience, which is a 13-year-old boy, you know, pirating a Sky UHF subscription, to early 30-year-old men just battling through a Tuesday morning.
I do. Well, that does make me think, like, should we change to give a better sort of, like, you know, try and meet it on its own terms? Something that our friend and film critic Dom Corrie is always so big on doing when critically analysing films, meeting it on its own home turf. Should we be watching these at night?
I think some of them we should be. I do think again though, it will be within this workmanlike context.
Yeah.
I think I've never watched porn for work, you know?
Few people have. Now, here's who I can name: film editors who work in the pornography genre, censors of a country, the people who give the ratings. That's it. That's all I can name.
And us now.
And Tim and Guy.
Pretty good. I mean, it's certainly something to cross off the old bucket list, isn't it? I just want to talk briefly a little bit more about young Emmanuel and Sigmund Fuck. Because
get up on that mic.
Well, I said early on in the screening today, I said I actually got quite a fondness for young Emmanuel. I mean,
we've both fallen for her.
Yeah.
She is telegenic.
She's very telegenic. I mean, look, without wanting to be reduced to the sort of, I don't quite know how to articulate this, but, you know, the base level in which most people engage with porn, she's an absolute smoke show. She's gorgeous.
She is truly gorgeous.
Until this film, she's actually done surprisingly little boning. She usually is enabling others to bone and sort of pulling strings from the side.
And then entering the body of someone else.
Yeah,
to bone.
Like exactly.
Her character bones, but it's someone else's
and
body.
And I think that's part of the reason why while she is ostensibly the lead in the series, it's sort of like falling in love with Steve Buscemi in Grown Ups 2 or like any of these secondary, Coffee Guy in Sex and the City 2, any of these secondary characters, because it's like you're not spending so much time with them that you get sick of them. And she's also, I mean, yeah, like I said, done a remarkably little boning. They sort of amend that in this film and to its own detriment, I think.
Yeah.
But like while she's trying to, she just displays quite an enjoyable sense of humor while she's trying to solve her amnesia, and Sigmund Fuck is, to his credit, making some progress by like asking her to like really actually explore memories instead of shutting them off because it's too challenging for her. He introduces the ink blot test, which is a more...
The Rorschach test,
and starts showing them to Emmanuel. And she immediately turns this around on him. In a classic move, she turns it around on him in the blink of an eye. And this world-leading psychoanalyst...
For women. Oh, female, sorry.
Completely falls for it. And so she says, I want you to do this, and holds up one of the pictures to her. And he says, I see. How does he talk? He's got like a German Werner Herzog kind of.
What do you think Sigmund Freud sounds like?
A woman with red hair.
There we go.
He goes, yeah. What do you see? A woman with red hair. And she goes, okay, what about this one? And she shows him, it's another woman with red hair. And he goes, she goes, what about this? Another woman with red hair and sweat and saliva dripping from her beautiful mouth. It's almost the Count from Sesame Street. I see one beautiful woman, two beautiful women. And he starts setting himself into this fucking frenzy.
Yeah.
As like we see the flash of what he's actually seeing, and they're all of these memories that are Emmanuel's, or alternate between that and just these nude people having sex inside of the... Cyclorama, is that what you said it is?
That's what the background thing is called.
It's just
We're in the office at that point, though.
No, but when he flashes back, you know, he sees the red woman, she's in a cyclorama and she's got her back to him, and then she turns and faces the camera.
By the way, folks, if you're not familiar with a cyclorama but you have seen The Matrix, it's like
what do they call it?
The Construct. Oh man, I haven't seen that movie
you kind of saw a version of it when we watched one of the Emmanuel films.
That's true. But they didn't use the same terminology.
The AI heavy films.
What the fuck is that area called where they load all the guns and stuff? This is the... Oh, that's going to kill me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I had The Matrix, this is like the very specific time period it came out in, on both VHS and DVD. Not a lot of movies.
That's pretty cool. Did you ever have one of those?
The Animatrix is the reason why we bought a DVD player in my family.
Did you ever have one of those consoles that had both VHS and DVD in it?
Nah, man.
And you put both in at the same time?
What would that do?
I don't know.
Like, it would both double
them.
Going.
Then you're watching The Matrix too. Yeah. Play the sequel.
A little crossover technology, bit of fun.
This antibiotic.
What
I didn't know it the
you?
First time I swallowed it.
Oh, have is it trapped in your
it's
throat?
Sort of like, not quite. It's making its way down slowly. But
yeah,
like,
I get that a lot. I used to get it a lot as a child eating McDonald's French fries.
Really?
For some weird reason. Yeah, I'd always kind of choke on them.
You get too excited and you just wolf them down.
I guess so. And there's something about the specific consistency of that where in my mouth I would go, this is soft enough to swallow. So it would get past the initial
but
test.
But they're still like wide and they get caught and they've got pointy ends.
Well, I would crush out the ends and stuff, but I hadn't chewed it just enough to actually slide on down the esophagus. So they get caught in there.
Getting pretty detailed.
Sorry.
So yeah, there's flashback. She solves her amnesia. We return to Sylvia Christel and Lazenby on the plane. Everyone has very patiently listened to these two talk about fucking for hours on end. They're nearly landing in Bangkok. And all of a sudden Lazenby confesses his love for Emmanuel.
Well, he does after she gives him the potion. So she's like, hey, listen, you've listened to my stories for 700 hours on this plane ride. I know that you don't fully believe them. So here's the magic potion that makes me young or transform into other women's bodies. Give it a hoon. And he says, okay. So he grabs it, the little vial. He goes to the bathroom and he emerges back as a strapping young 36-year-old Italian for some reason. And starts saying sweet nothings to Emmanuel and confessing his unbridled and undying love. And then does she transform on the plane? No, she does. Does she?
She's sort of skeptical. And then she also transforms on the plane. And then they're like, let's pretend all of the stories we've been telling each other were us. It was always us. It's us.
Which has got a nice, you know, time traveler's wife.
I'm just thinking of the other passengers in first class.
I've never read that book, by the way. I want to put that out there. I've made huge assumptions about that book is. And if you want to tweet at me, I invite you to.
And they just get down to fucking in first class.
They fuck on the plane, everyone, in first class. And this is a cool older version of first class where there used to be 8 people in there, but like a dining table.
There's not a dining table.
I'm using hyperbole, but it's big, spacious, old school. Like everyone's got a cigarette and bloody got their feet up. Like it looks so luxurious and just like a massive waste of space.
But surely
on
first class must be better now.
No.
What? How could it become worse?
Because they wanted to pack more people in, so it's like tighter. You can see first class when you like walk onto an international flight because they for some reason get a sick thrill out of parading the cattle in front of them. So they load them on the plane first at the front, and then all us poor people have to grab our six backpacks we've managed to sneak past security.
I would have spoken about this. I remember we were flying back from America Were we flying back from America together? We did something, and I remember walking through first or business class with you on an Air New Zealand flight and saying, oh, it doesn't even look that good. It's tiny.
I remember that. And a guy looked up from his newspaper at you and gave you the stinkiest look.
Gosh.
But that's what I'm talking about. It is tiny now because they did the math.
It's all constructed so you can lie down. They have done the math.
You can still lie down a bit, yeah. But
I would love it. I'd love it just once.
Have you ever done it?
I've flown premium economy.
That is the shit, eh?
Well, yeah.
On Air New Zealand, they know what is up.
They're all better.
I've done premium economy, I think, once ever. I think it might have been to LA. And fuck me, it was nice.
It's a bit of a game changer.
It's so different from economy.
I know. It does make going back hard. It's like, what? You have access to this and you're treating us like this?
Mm.
Even though, to be honest, economy on Air New Zealand is still class.
Hell yeah.
God, I love our national carrier.
Yeah, I know, but no more flying for anyone, which is okay.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. No, fuck.
I've got
two perfectly
good legs.
I had something. Okay. Here's what I want to get into. My friend Guy. They briefly.
You want to get into me?
Tantalizingly, like, held out a bit in front of me, which I thought they were going to get into, of the Japanese guy who's on the plane. They do, inside of all the flashbacks, reveal that he was there.
He's a
shadowy figure. He's not overseeing.
He's not just there when Emmanuel is initially given the potion. He's there watching on, as he is in first class, he's there watching on at all of her sexual breaks or moments. He's like omnipotent, omnipresent. Both work.
Mm-hmm.
Both are saying the same thing. And they don't really explain it other than, like, if you're paying attention consecutively enough, you see that he pops up everywhere.
So, and then they also reveal, because they do some more flashbacks to the temple in Bangkok where Emmanuel first gets the potion and gets the speech from the high monk saying that you will now represent, you
this
will be every
monk,
woman.
By the way, yeah.
He's a piece of work.
After she comes back when she's older with the potion. And he articulates to her what's happened. And he says, you chose to follow your heart and your body, but not your mind. You are the incarnation of woman. So, you know, while they've got, obviously...
Cheeky.
This predates Home Alone 3, but this is right up there alongside some of the foremost...
Not by heaps.
...feminist texts in cinema.
Isn't that wild that this doesn't predate Home Alone 3 by that much?
Predates Toy Story by 2 years, brother.
Okay. But Toy Story was 94, wasn't it?
95.
Oh, okay.
Can I tell you some of the other cinema releases that came out the same time as these seven Emmanuel films?
If you'd like to, you can do that.
Jurassic Park.
Wow.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yep.
Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
Dazed and Confused.
I do not put Groundhog Day and Mrs. Doubtfire in the same year in my head.
Wayne's World 2.
Shit.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Never seen it.
The Fugitive.
Harrison Ford one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is crazy that all of these things are happening at once.
Yeah, it used to be the case that they bring out a whole bunch of movies every year, Guy.
Philadelphia.
They do it every year.
Last Action Hero, Free Willy 2. I mean, what a great year for cinema.
Yeah, put that up. I feel like we're diverging too much now.
Beethoven's Second.
All right.
A sequel to the popular Beethoven film, where a St. Bernard is called Beethoven.
That's the premise, eh? There's a dog and it's called Beethoven. Okay.
Works for me.
I mean, Air Bud, that's a movie about a dog. You know what's going on, because the dog's got to play basketball, and the actual main character is the lack of a rule stopping him do it.
I've not seen any of the Air Bud films.
In the same way that Legally Blonde is a great pretense for people who want to get into law, like pretext, I guess. a movie. For people who want to get into law later on in life, I think people who want to find loopholes, maybe like currency traders, should all watch Air Bud.
People who want to get into dog ownership, basketball, or currency trading,
yeah,
have to watch Air Bud.
Exactly. It's people, all about arbitrage opportunities.
And people who want to get into porn have to watch their mother's birth video.
Oh, what?
I don't know.
Man alive. Curveball. Curveball from Monty.
Can a fella have some fun?
Oh, you sure can.
Border Patrol!
Fuck up for a second, man. I'm still want to talk about the God figure. So this Japanese guy who's on the plane, and he's like, he's there at the temple, and then he's there during all of these memories. And I've noticed a couple times in the previous made-for-TV movies, there's like a shot that will just linger on him, and you're like, oh, what the fuck are they trying to tell us about this guy? Like, what's his deal? I reckon it's God. And I'm so gay. I think there's a cut of this movie probably where they get more into it. And whoever edited this was like, dude, there's so much going on already. Do we need like a God figure here?
I think that's what this movie needed. More exposition.
I would have loved it personally. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff, man. I would love for there to be this shadowy figure that is revealed. And he's like kind of popped up in the background of lots of these movies. And he's revealed to be the ultimate puppet master.
He's revealed to be a part of the... He's sort of part of the... I don't know what you call a collective of monks. A monastery?
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem like a monastery, but he seems to be part of the monastery where Emmanuel has bestowed the potion. And then so it's almost as though he's just... he's not policing, but he's just like inspecting her application of this potion at every turn.
Also, I think it's worth mentioning that when she gets given the potion, that was the slyest shit I've ever seen. My dog just came in, and then when I got up to close the door that it had just opened, it stole my seat.
Yeah, fucking it was ruthless. Pretty good. Your dog is a little cheek, man.
Yeah, he is.
This motherfucker.
It's worth mentioning that young Emmanuel and the monk fuck in the temple, because he uses the potion on himself. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course he wants to get out.
Rufus has many of the physical attributes of a dog, but some of the mental characteristics of a cat.
He's a great mascot. Yeah, I totally agree. He's a great mascot for Little Empire Podcast because he's the only through line
in all the podcasts.
In the studio shows.
Yeah, he loves to come inside, mm-hmm. and then as soon as he's inside, he's got a real rum-tum-tugger vibe.
He does indeed. So they fuck in the temple, which I don't know if that's kosh, but they're both young and hot, so fair play to them,
yeah,
I guess.
All power to them. Speaking of
young Emmanuel, young and hot. I've told you about this. She's a Venezuelan model. I want to know what else she did.
I want to know if you got a boner.
No, I didn't.
Very
did
well.
Did you?
No. In fact, this would be
the furthest,
if it's possible.
Yeah.
Literally, they didn't give you Do you know what infuriates me about this skin flick? They didn't even give me the opportunity to achieve and maintain an erection.
Yeah, you're right about that. Like, at the best of times during this franchise, they're pretty scatty. But in this one, it was like, can we stay
also,
in anything for a
also
fucking half a beat?
Flashback through all of the sex scenes in this film, which is, I think you're right, they were tight on budget. But it included the horrific band orgy. With all the food play and disgusting
that fucking,
banana scene.
No, it was the fucking strawberry dessert that she brings out. Glossy strawberry dessert. What is that? It's like got like a gelatin membrane
like
on the top of it.
It's a 1980s microwave cookbook.
That is exactly what it looks like.
But that's fine by my books. The banana really kills me.
Yeah, it's because the banana's being eaten right next to an ass. And like I said, nothing wrong with a banana, nothing wrong with eating ass, but for some reason when you merge the two together, it's like it becomes a very grisly affair.
Banana stains.
Does it?
Yeah, banana stains.
I didn't
it's
know
just
that.
Like it's a nasty texture. It's fine in a smoothie. I'll have them when I need them, but I do
you
not
eat,
want
you
it
eat
in
a
the
lot
bedroom.
Of banana. This surprises me. I would have thought you were exceptionally pro banana.
I'm pro banana. On the street, in the kitchen.
Not in the sheets.
Have as many bananas as you want, but do not bring a banana near my or anyone's genitalia. I don't want bananas in the bedroom.
Pro banana on the streets, anti-banana between the sheets.
And that is my campaign for the mayoralty of Auckland.
All right, anything else we need to cover off?
No boners.
I hated this one, man. I hate this movie.
Yeah.
Do I? Is that true? Yeah, it is. I think they missed the trick not getting into the Japanese god figure. I think it would have been a cool angle.
Yeah, look, it was not a good film. It was the last in a series of seven.
Look, it was not a good film.
I'm very excited for the Americans to get their hands on this franchise.
I'm not.
And to Americanize.
I think we put too much stock in it.
It's still going to be tough watching, but like I'm tired. I mean, last episode I feel like I was saying I quite like the plane construct. I like that they've created a through line, like a loose scaffolding.
Mm. Some of the lighting in this one was good, though. It reminded me of a Coke ad from yesterday.
Yeah, you said that.
Soft lighting.
So I enjoyed
that on the podcast, though.
Yeah.
You see?
I liked it. I liked the device until this movie, and then I was like, I was tired of it. I want to see them in space. I want to see Americans hamming it up. And I want to see a boner.
Oh, yuck. I don't like how you delivered that.
Yeah, I was swallowing my antibiotic.
Oh, okay.
Still. I want to see a boner, and I want to see... What is it I want to see? Oh, no, I was just going to say... I just want to see a better understanding of angles and physics when it comes to the sex scenes. I'm tired of seeing someone slam a woman's pelvic region into their belly button and everyone pretending like there's a penis and a vagina.
I don't think you're in for any kind of a corrective time. I think it's going to just stay the same.
The idea of filming those scenes is very challenging to me. Can you imagine pretending to have sex while you slam someone's pelvis into your torso?
Yeah.
And your flaccid penis just hangs loose between your legs.
It'd be difficult. But
nothing erotic about it.
No, there really isn't. It's quite it's a physical performance akin to if you were doing some sort of low-grade gymnastics, but then you have to fake that you're having an orgasmic amount of pleasure while doing it for the cam.
I don't feel like we've seen anyone orgasm. Not in real life, but not in the film either. I feel like they get. I feel like everyone's sort of just working themselves up and just never release.
I don't think that's true. I think people orgasm. Well... Yeah, there's not a lot of focus on it, though, is there?
No, well, it's not that... Oh, Rufus, what are you doing?
He's too fat. He's trying to jump up on the arm of the chair. Look, he's going to go for a third go. You can do it. I believe in you, Rufus. Do it. Give it a go. Come on, fatty. Do it. Yeah, boy. Oh, he went for the easy option. Anyway, don't worry about him. He's all good.
Isn't it funny that wet dog smells like a wet blazer?
A wet blazer?
I used to have to wear woolen blazers to school.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And if it rained,
yeah,
it would stink like dog.
Because this is like the same. Rufus is here because he's half mini schnauzer. It's like hypoallergenic. Is that the word?
Hypoallergenic. Do you know what I was thinking when I went for a run this morning?
And he doesn't shed. What?
Because I was wondering if I was going to get a topical steroid for my...
sty?
For my sty, but I didn't because it's too serious. And I was thinking how I wished I was into comedy when the Barry Bonds and baseball steroid scandal was going down, or when Lance Armstrong was getting done for his for doping in the Tour de France.
Yeah.
Could say, you want to talk about a topical steroid? How about HGH, gee whiz? How about all these sports cheats?
Oh, my God.
That's all from us.
Is it?
Yeah, man.
Is that the episode?
What, you got to end on a banger?
Yeah, sorry, as you were.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.